The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Planet Gridiron. Hello, Dave.
What's your host? Damien Anderson.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron. All my listeners out there in the World Wide Web, we have a great show. We can talk a little NFL, NBA, and NCAA college football. If you like, please call in at 888-346-9144. As always, the voice of one Planet Gridiron, one Roland Hill. Roland, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, doing great.
And our resident prognosticator, Dave Lockhart,
he's
pumped up today.
Very much so, folks.
Dave Lockhart, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, man. I'm doing quite well. Peachy Keen right about now.
Peachy Keen.
That's good. Yes. Well, I mean, I guess, as we always, we know we always talk football, but we're going to start today with a little basketball. The three-headed horseman down in Miami opened up against the Boston Celtics with Shaq, and as we know, all the names out there, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen,
Rondo,
Nate Robinson, etc. Mm-hmm. And they lost.
Yes, they did.
They lost. I mean, several turnovers. They just looked sloppy basketball. Are the Miami Heat the team to beat?
No, they're not even the team to beat in the East.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I mean, Boston just lost to Cleveland.
Yeah,
with no LeBron.
That's true. But look at how Boston played last year. Now, granted, I don't think they could do that this year, in that essentially they took the second half of season off last year, were the number four seed, but yet they still made it to the finals. And as we all can remember, gave a good, hard push toward the championship versus the Lakers, and they went seven.
Well, you can't go over experience, and that's one thing that all those three key players have.
Size
and experience.
Right. I mean, what do you think is going on down there in Miami?
Well, I think it's just chemistry. I mean, they only had three minutes to really effectively play with each other throughout the whole preseason and given practices. And I mean, for me, Chris Bosh is just another guy. I mean, although that he got a max contract, I think that he's great. He brings some great intangibles and hustle. He's going to get you those hustle points. But to me, the guys are LeBron and Dwayne Wade. If they could get 30 and 30, they'll be the next Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen.
Do you think it'll happen?
I think it can. I think it can, but it's just gonna take time. This team will only get better, like Dave said about Boston. They're not gonna take the second half of the season off. This team will get better day in and day out
as the season progresses, as
they play together. I mean, speaking of a team that's been together, that's getting better. I mean, Paul Gasol doing it at all ends. I mean, he's just gotten tougher. I mean, when he first got into the league, it was all finesse game.
Right.
Now he's getting rebounds, playing tough, staring people down. How do you feel about the Lakers out in the West?
You know, I'm not great with respect to basketball, but I have to agree with
you.
All
you ain't got to say that. You're on the radio show.
Hey, I'm not.
Everybody think you're professional.
My thing is the football. Right. Okay, but I mean, I would agree with all the national pundits. I tend to believe that the Lakers are the team to beat, and they're going to only get better. They're a seasoned team. They have a nice mix of parts and pieces to the system that they run, and another year in that system makes them that much more dangerous, I guess.
Who are the starters this year for the Lakers?
Well, it's going to be the same ones as last year. They're going to be
Odom.
You got Odom.
Odom starting.
Well, Odom is Odom.
He was like six or
seven.
Yeah,
you have Paul Gasol. Mm-hmm. You have, obviously, Kobe Bryant. You're going to have Fisher at the point guard, and then you're going to have – it's going to have to be Odom. Odom's going to start. And because Andrew Bynum's not in yet at the center position. Mm-hmm. So you bring out the bench. To be honest, I think that Steve Blake is better than Jordan Farmar. That's an upgrade for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then you have Shannon Brown, if that's any indication.
He don't know basketball. Yeah, I know. And then he went to great school at St. Mary's Rose Prep Academy, where he's 72.3% from 3-point and 99.9% of the free throw line. But I don't know basketball.
Anyway, and Shannon Brown seems to be developing.
He's getting a lot of confidence in his game.
Yeah.
You can just tell his players mature from year to year. But, I mean, and I always said, Dave, Kobe wins another championship this year. Rolling two. I mean, you're a basketball fan. You've seen it happen. The one denominator is Phil Jackson in these championships when you're debating Kobe versus Jordan.
Sure.
However, Kobe wins number seven. Does he become the best that's ever played the game?
In my opinion?
In your opinion. Of course.
No, he's still not better than Jordan in my mind.
Is it? Let me ask you this, Dave. Is it because you looked at Jordan as a kid and with some nostalgia, and Kobe's tends to be some under you? You know, he's not – Jordan is more of a peer, your era. You know, Kobe's like my age. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I grew up in both
right.
eras.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I see what they both can do. I thought that Jordan was a very more – electric, but I think that as his game matured, he developed that jump shot.
He did. He did. He could back
Kobe,
you down.
And Kobe does that. Kobe did that a lot earlier than Mike did.
I will say right now, I think Kobe Bryant is a better scorer.
Okay.
I agree with that. I just think an overall basketball player, I tend to side with Jordan.
So we're going back to football then. So as you, I know you saw an NFL top 100 in terms of best, you know, score or best running back versus best, you know, athlete or overall running back. You got Walter Payton. Obviously, you got Emmitt Smith, but they had Barry Sanders at number 17, and Emmitt Smith was at number 27.
Oh, I would agree with that. I don't think that anybody that really knows football and watched them, because they play obviously during the same time frame and era, I don't think there's much of an argument here who's the better running back between.
Would you say complete? As we know, Dave, complete running back and running back is two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Reggie Bush. He may go down as one of the best running backs.
Right.
But, you know, just as his ability to create, make plays in space and do the things that he's able to do and make people miss. Mm-hmm. However,
he's a playmaker is what I look at him as.
Absolutely. That's but if what, you put him in that backfield and they blitz.
Boo, boo. Exactly. He's king of the lookout block.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Because they're coming. You know, and running between the tackles. He's got his job.
Well, he has limitations. He
several
does.
Times. So to me, it's like, you know, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Obviously, I grew up in Chicago, love Walter Payton, watched Emmitt Smith as a kid, and Barry Sanders was it to me because I just loved the way that he didn't have anything and made everything happen.
Mm-hmm.
So given all those factors, who's the best back?
In my opinion, out of those three that you just spoke of, best running back is still Barry Sanders.
Best overall?
Best overall running back, I'm going to side with your dad. I tend to like Jim Brown. I
really?
I dig deep into deep.
But why? Why Jim Brown? What was he running against?
And a lot of people, I mean, we even had Johnny Rowland on here who played similar to that area, coached a lot of running backs, coached Emmitt Smith, and thought that Jim Brown would come into the National Football League and do his thing.
Yep. He even said in modern day times.
He said, I agree with you.
I just tend to – I like Jim Brown. I found him to be the complete package for what they were asking him to do at the time.
But given that size, given that speed, given all those factors that Jim Brown would do, and we see backs of that similar size and standard in the NFL right now, and they're I wouldn't say mediocre, but it's got a guy like Brandon Jacobs.
But he's not Jim Brown.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, we get guys of that big, that size, that speed, they necessarily don't go in the game. Like, just look at a Beanie Wells or Tim Hightower around. I mean, Tim Hightower's not 240, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
but
what really was Jim Brown's speed? I mean, was he a speedster?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, he was big.
Yeah, he's big, fast, and strong.
He's about 230, about a 4.5, 4.4.
I would say that. Yeah. Right in there in that range, the 4.4, 4.5. I think speed is overrated. Damien can speak to it better than me. But I think speed from the running back position.
He had abusive speed. He had, you know what I'm saying? No one wanted to
tackle. Speed.
He had a type of a game that no one wanted to tackle. Like, he punished the tackler, and I think that's something that, given a smaller running back.
But do you think in today's game?
That wouldn't work. I don't think that would work. I mean, given, like we said, the size, the speed, the game transitioning, the bigger, stronger, faster, to me.
It wouldn't work.
It would be a matter of years. I mean, I think that he would be effective, and I think that he would.
Sure.
His initial pop into the league would be good, but I think it would wear on him.
Well, I mean, only played 9 years. Let's keep that in perspective.
And he walked away.
And he walked away from it, right. And
then, much like Barry Sanders.
And Earl Campbell played 9 years. And I think,
and it hurt him.
And it hurt. Yeah. I mean, he quit because he said he no longer could do it anymore.
He had to.
He could not do it anymore. He said he called his wife. I remember I watched a documentary on him. And he called his wife while he was playing with the Saints. And he said, "Dear, I can't get through the hole anymore."
Right.
She just said, "Come on back home.
Come on home."
You know.
Let's talk about people that have rejuvenated their career. It sits around running backs. One, LaDainian
Tomlinson. Yeah. He looks good. He does. He looks good.
I mean, what happened? What do you think it is, David? Do you think it was a change of scenery? Do you think it's? I mean, they lost Alan Faneca,
right?
That assisted them in having the NFL's best rushing team,
right?
Lost Thomas Jones. I mean, Sean Green's still a good back, but LaDainian Tomlinson has a fresh pair of legs, a whole new outlook on life. Quoting Vince Lombardi in team meetings,
I think what happened was. One, I think he's healthy. I think you could look at LaDainian today and look at what he was playing, the way he played the last 2 years.
But I didn't think that I didn't see Dave. What I saw from the
Chargers,
the Chargers was an inability to just open up a hole.
Sure.
I didn't say he got fast. I didn't think he got slower. I think he got banged up because they didn't necessarily protect him, and they're more so focused on allowing Rivers to throw the ball,
sure.
You know, 40 times a game, and he's great at doing that. But sure. I think the focus shifted from LaDainian being the focus with Drew Brees and just, you know, short intermediate passes to Phillip Rivers. I could throw a 50-yard bomb and we could score like that instead of pounding the ball and going a 10, 15-play drive.
I mean, schematically, it has definitely changed with the infusion, if you will, of Phillip Rivers and moving away from Drew Brees. And, you know, it took some time for the transitioning to occur. When Rivers initially started, obviously you're going to protect a young quarterback with the running game. But as he matured, he began to demonstrate that, hey, I can put the ball down the field.
Be one of the best.
Right, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, at least statistically speaking, and they were winning. We were going to turn the keys over to the team to him, and changing that offense. And the emphasis moved away from LaDainian. And I agree, it didn't look like they were opening up the holes.
But also Darren Sproles did his thing too.
He did.
I mean, he was a good little back, and it seemed like every
change of pace back.
Yeah, I mean, every time that he had an opportunity, any time of space, I think that contributed to, you know, not I wouldn't say his play.
He's more dynamic, I would say.
Absolutely. I wouldn't say his play fell off, but it was just like, wow, this other guy's doing all these amazing things.
Sure.
But as we know in the game, I mean, all of us, if you create a situation for a guy and he doesn't play and LaDainian's carrying it 12 to 15 times a game, this guy comes in for specialty plays that it's supposed to showcase his quickness, his speed, and
his ability to do exactly what we saw.
And exploit, put a defense in a situation where he's going to exploit that defensive end trying to cover him on a flare or seam route. I mean, that's what happens, and I thought they did a great job at that. However, I mean, what is this team going to do? Are they going to respond like they always do?
The Chargers?
Are they? Because they're a good team offensively.
They're talented, and statistically speaking, they're fine. But they're not a good team because good teams, first of all, are not 2-4.
Right.
Good teams don't make the mistakes that they make. Good teams don't tackle poorly like they make, and like they're doing, And at the conclusion of games, good teams win close games. They have done none of that. Therefore, they're not a good team.
Kind of like the Cardinals.
Kind of like the Cowboys.
They're 500. Cowboys are what they going to do?
They're doing nothing. They already is getting ready for the draft for next year. Because
you think
especially,
so?
Yeah, I just – they are a talented
what
team.
What are they missing? Because they seem to do everything. I mean, they scored 35 points. The defense.
Quarterback.
Full of stars. I thought Romo played well. He's not been playing bad. Romo's not been playing bad.
They're not.
Who's going to play this week?
They got Kitna.
Kitna.
And you know you're going to protect him in terms of the schemes that you use.
And Felix Jones has run the ball well.
Yeah, he started to pick it up.
Yeah,
and they have playmakers. That's not a problem.
I think that. I mean,
but
to
that's
me,
talent over team.
To me, I saw the New York Giants run the perfect game plan. They exploited everything. I mean, they just look superior, not necessarily in players, but in coaching.
Sure.
Every play that they called was like a touchdown or a 10-yard gain.
Just went after.
I mean, whether it was a draw, it just seemed like they had their number and we're better than you and I'm just a more intelligent, better coach. Because
the back end of their defense is bad. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
The back end of the Cowboy defense is bad.
Well, they got Newman. They got the other guy from Ohio State. I mean, they got some decent talent. Their linebackers and their defensive line are good.
I think you're talking about Jenkins. Are you talking about
Jenkins?
Okay, no, that's Michael Jenkins. You're thinking about the guy there is from South Florida, the defensive back. Okay, excuse me.
Okay.
But Sensabaugh is – their safety help is not that
good.
It's not good. And the cornerback, I mean, long in the tooth, if you will, with respect to Newman, but still respect. Will still a good player.
Yeah, a good tackle for touchdown.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, they're being exploited. Their front
especially
seven
at your home. Especially
shouldn't
at home.
Be whipped like that.
Coming up after the break, more Damon Anderson, Dave Lockhart, Roland Hill. We're going to talk some NCAA football, as well as the best stadium for costume apparel, as well as the scariest movie we've ever seen. And you could also call in and leave your thoughts at 888-346-9144 on Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. Maybe we could calm Dave down during this break because he's still a little perturbed.
The game ain't been the same since B.I.G. died and Wu swarmed on New York from out that beehive.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds
left to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
Aye, Bobby,
starting,
hey,
I'm
bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The IS Outdoors Talk Radio Show brings two well-known outdoorsmen to the Voice America Network. We talk about everything from new sporting gear, places to hunt and fish, and how to get more from your recreation time. Join hosts Brock Ray and Don Kirk with their combined experience of 60 years in the woods. Brock and Don have traveled widely, creating TV shows and writing articles on hunting and fishing. Blessed with down-home humor, they're also well-versed in environmental concerns, firearms ownership, and animal rights issues. Tune in every Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time to IS Outdoors with Brock Ray and Don Kirk, right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And welcome back here to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
And as we always do, we'd like to welcome our friend from the, is it the East or the Southeast?
Yeah.
Region of the United States, one Wags, a.k.a. Jason Wagners. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, sir.
So tell me about your Carolina Panthers. Finally got a dub against the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to say that I didn't necessarily. I thought it was a toss-up. Who would win? But it was good to see your boy Matt Moore go out there and get a victory. And you had a young receiver have a great day too. So tell me about how's everybody feeling about that win down there in the Southeast Valley.
I think it's a turnaround point. I think a lot of the fans are seeing it as a turnaround point in the season where things are just going to get better.
Okay, turnaround point, Wax. Who do you guys play next? Who do you guys play next, Wax?
And don't say Baltimore.
Right.
The next game that they got, I think it's the Rams.
Maybe.
All right, wait, hold on, because the Rams play well at home.
They do.
I mean, they've beaten Seattle. They've beaten San Diego at home. The Rams play well. I mean, at home. I mean, obviously the Cardinals got a win there. But, I mean, hey, they just got beat by Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so you know that they're trying to find out a win. So, I mean, Wags, talk about you. What do you got going on this week? What's happening in Wags' world?
Just the holiday weekend with my son.
Holiday? What holiday are you celebrating?
Halloween.
That's a holiday?
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
For the kids, it is, at least.
Okay, what's little guy dressing up as?
I have no idea yet.
Okay, whatever his mom sent him over there with.
I was
going to
say
that. We'll figure it out at some point. But,
you on that CPT time, huh?
I just want to say thank you to any of the fans that may be listening, that were at the show Friday night in Moxon, North Carolina, to see the new Age Wrestling Alliance crowning new international champion.
Okay,
and that would be drum roll.
Yes.
Wags, you held it down. You got it, man.
By hook or by crook, I took the title.
All right. Go get it, Wags.
Wags, you weren't wrestling yourself again, were you?
No, I wasn't wrestling myself. Why would I wrestle myself?
Why would I wrestle myself?
All right, who would you wrestle? Who would you beat to win the International?
The international title was held by Baron Bullard before he lost it to me.
Okay.
All right, Wags.
Now, where is he from?
Yeah, where is he from, Wags?
I'm not sure exactly where he's from. That boy's got so many different gimmicks to begin with, so I never know which one he's claiming where he's from for any of them.
Okay. So, I mean, so Wags.
How'd you take him out, Wags?
Tell us how you won here on Planet Gridiron Radio.
What I do? Basically nothing to win. Had another guy that had a beef with him, came down, stuck his nose in the match, and hit him with an RKO. I turn around, see that.
An RKO.
Hold on. 1, 2, 3. It's over.
Wags, we don't know wrestling verbiage. You got to break it down what RKO is to us.
Well, yeah. What's an RKO?
RKO, basically, guy will grab the guy by the neck and then just drop him down. The shoulder, the guy's chain is right there on the shoulder, dropping him straight down.
Okay, I've seen that before. Okay. Oh, okay.
Almost, sounds painful.
Back in the day, Diamond Dallas Page done a move similar and called it the Diamond Cutter.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right, the Diamond
Cutter. Oh, the Diamond Cutter.
So, Wags, what do you call yours? Just an RKO?
What's your finishing move?
I didn't do that. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything to win at that point. It was just after the other guy hit that move on my opponent, I just went over and covered him 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Hey,
look for the trophy.
Oh, the dude distracted him? The referee, was that happening?
Referee didn't have anything to do with it. It was an ODQ match. Anything could have went, so.
Oh, okay.
So it was perfectly legal.
Got you a belt, eh? What belt does that make for you, Wax?
That's my second one that I've got.
Okay, on to the next one, man. That's what they tell me.
Hey, it's always going to bigger and better things. Just like the Arizona Cardinals are going to bigger and better things this year, gaining another win this week, I predict it.
Oh, so that you said they're going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers aren't the best team in NFC?
I don't believe so.
There, Wags said it. And I join Wags. They are not.
So why would Raheem Morris go out there and say that? And I know you guys probably saw that clip, but it looked like after he said he was like, damn.
What? You know what I mean? Then he like, yeah, that's right, I said it. Yeah, yeah.
He was like,
honestly, yeah. In my opinion, the Giants are a lot better of a team than Tampa Bay.
I think, Tom, I think
nobody Giants, would disagree
yeah,
with that.
No, absolutely not. I think the Giants might be the best team in the NFC right now.
I mean, I know they've been well. For the last 3 weeks.
How good is Ahmad Bradshaw right now?
Yeah. Marshall University thundering herd.
I mean, he's doing well. I mean, Eli's throwing the ball well. I mean, to a plethora. What did he call him? Jet Blue?
Yeah, they Jet Blue yeah. Right
yeah,
now.
They're playing well. I can't believe how grown up Steve Smith is doing.
Yeah, he's balling.
I mean, he's
been
doing
balling
really well. Because I didn't see him making that transition to the program that
well. Not
long.
That well.
Mm-mm.
And then Hakeem Hicks is gone doing leaps and bounds between the rookie year and now. And Sonoris Moss not even on the field.
Not even on the field. And your boy from Manningham is playing
from
well
Michigan
as well.
Plays well.
Hicks, I thought Hicks was going to be really well because he has some like 17-inch hands and
yeah, he's
can
just
catch
a
everything.
Big athletic kind of guy who catches the ball with his hands.
So, Wax, what do you have going on, man? We'll let you pub what you got going on and appreciate you calling in the show and call back next week. So what do you got going on?
Nothing. Like I said, not for a few weeks at least.
Not for a few weeks. What do you got coming up in a few weeks?
Got on everybody's favorite day, Black Friday, I got a show with a group called $5 Wrestling.
Okay, and what's that consist of?
What's that consist of?
Yeah, what's $5 Wrestling?
$5 Wrestling is a small group that they charge $5 to get in. So that's why it's called $5 Wrestling, I guess. I don't know. That's as close as I can guess with the one running that group why it came up with that name, but... they've had one other show that I worked for them back in July, and they've asked me to work the show on Black Friday.
Well, there it is.
Black Friday.
Congratulations, man, from winning the belt. Much success to you. Appreciate you calling
hey,
in the show,
want,
buddy.
I'll stick around for a while later on when you do picks.
Yeah, so just call back, Wax. Call back because we got 2 segments for that, so call back at 888-346.
Right. In a few.
All right, okay, buddy.
All right. Appreciate you. Top rope, that's Wax.
Top rope. There you go.
Top rope. So, I mean, we're talking about, you know, taking games or arenas to different places.
Sure.
The NFL is playing their game out in London.
Wembley Stadium.
I mean, and it's not necessarily the best couple of teams. I mean, it's the San Francisco 49ers as well as the Denver Broncos who just got 59 points scored on them. I mean, is that good for the NFL? I mean, I think so.
It depends on where they're trying to go. If you are actually trying to expand it internationally.
But there's some talk about possible teams being out there.
Well, I think that may cause some difficulty
okay.
in trying to place a team.
So?
Because you're going to have basically the team, the kids that comprise that team, do they want to live in London, England? You know, yes, they want to play in the NFL, but do you want to live in another country altogether?
Because
I'm not used to living in London.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to living in the United States.
But you're used to playing.
You're used to playing football, and not only that, the venues there, we don't know, are they going to be packed every game? We don't know. We've seen how Europeans have embraced the NFL, so much so that we've decided to shut down our productions over there
mm-hmm.
in terms of using it as a feeder or a kind of a training league.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was because, one, it was not financially in their best interest to do it, and two, there wasn't much of an interest in terms of
looking
at
American
football.
So do you think by taking this game to London will help pique interest?
I think it create exposure, eyeballs. I mean, think about the international success of soccer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that necessarily the NFL could get that, but if you could tap into somewhat of that I guess,
would you
pie
go to Europe
and play?
And play?
Yeah. And
or
play or coach?
Broadcast or call?
Would you take your family over there?
I would. I mean, there's a lot of culture out there. There's a lot.
Dave don't want to go nowhere.
I ain't going nowhere.
Dave, let me tell you, Dave came from Atlanta, where they 2 years removed from slavery.
2 years.
Came to Arizona, married him a white woman, had him some mulatto babies, and still eat pig's feet, hog maws, and chitlins. Dave will go anywhere where they pay.
What's that? I actually stay away from that kind of stuff. But I bite the hell out of pork chop. I bite the hell out of pork chop.
What I'm trying to say is that Dave would go to England. If they were paying him, if they said, we're going to pay you $1 million to try this case.
Oh, yeah. I'll be in. Oh, yeah. Beer yeah, yeah. Yeah. But you ain't asking me to live in England.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they say you got to live here for, the case going to take approximately 5 years. We're going to give you $1 million.
A year?
No, for $1 million for 5 years.
No, because I make that here.
Damn, they just put it out there.
No, what you're talking about is $200,000 over 5 years. That's all it is.
Okay, well, they said that was a bonus, and they just said it could be anywhere from $1 million to $500,000 a year.
A year?
Yep.
Oh. Tea and crumpets. it is all. That's right. Where the queen at? Exactly.
But that's how it is. That's exactly how it is. So I mean, we're talking about that. So I mean, who's the best team right now in football? NFC.
We've already touched on it. I think we have to agree. It's the New York Giants, at least for the past 3 to 4 weeks. We're 7 weeks in.
You think so?
They appear to be the best team in the NFC. Now, I don't know how much or what that's saying, because we all can sit here and think probably about 5 to 6 teams in the AFC that you would rank ahead of them.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I do.
Like who?
Pittsburgh is definitely better than them, in my opinion.
Okay.
Baltimore, I think, is better than them.
I wouldn't give you Baltimore.
Okay.
Their running game has kind of fluttered.
Well, that's because they're also developing or expanding with the passing game and inclusion of Ray Rice.
But, I mean, they just had Buffalo score 30-some-odd points against
them. That's an aberration. That's not going to happen every week.
But it did happen.
It did happen, yeah. But, I mean, we're up here saying
it's Buffalo.
Yeah, but we're also up here saying that New York is great, and they got their toe out, second week of the season? It was awful. Whoever that was, I can't remember.
I mean, it happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This just happened in week 6 or week 7. That just so happened. Right. It's an aberration, okay? Well, I think at this New England's definitely better than them. Jets are better than them. And I think Tennessee is actually better than them.
Tennessee, I wouldn't get Tennessee. They're so inconsistent to me. I mean, I like what Kerry Collins is doing with Kenny Britt. And, I mean, you have to question that decision of bringing Vince Young back. I mean, given the success of Vince Young, I mean, Kenny Britt, he got benched early in that game. And had 200-some
yards receiving.
Seven catches?
Yeah, he was balling.
But how do you bench a kid and then all of a sudden he comes and does that?
Sometimes you have to send a message, and obviously the message got
through.
Was sent to 10.
Catch a ball.
Exactly.
Catch a ball.
I bet you won't drop.
Talking about the AFC, I mean, who's the best team? Who do you see winning the AFC, representing the AFC in this year's Super Bowl, as of right now?
Let's go.
I like to say there's a couple shows out here that do the top five.
Right.
So give me your top five teams in football right now.
Okay.
Start with number five. Go you next.
Number five?
Yep, number five.
Okay, let me try to do it as quick as I can. I'd say New York Giants.
Okay.
Four, I probably would say is Tennessee. Three, I would say New England. Am I there? Yeah. Two. Mm. Oh, man, I messed it up because, no. Let's go. Five, Baltimore. Four, New England. Three, Pittsburgh. One is the Jets. Let me come back down to two.
You got the Jets number one. Ooh,
yeah, I got Jets right now. I would say Jets.
Okay.
It's easy to do it this way. Jets for number one. Two, I would say, I'm sorry, I'm messing this up. Baltimore. Three, I would say, no, two is Pittsburgh. Three is Baltimore, excuse me. Four is Tennessee, New England right now, and five, I give a nod. Giants over Tennessee.
I can't put Tennessee in the top five right now. I just can't do it. I mean, I like what they're doing, but to me, they've just shown some inconsistency. You know what I mean? They just haven't been that team that just sticks out on paper. I'm like,
what's their record?
I mean, they've played. They're 4-2.
They're 5-2.
5-2. Sorry, and they played Jacksonville. And I mean, it's Jacksonville to me. I mean, you know what I mean? They're getting wins, like we talked about. They're very similar to this Tampa Bay team. To me, you know what I mean? They haven't really played
quality of the opponent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I'm going to start off with my number five being Baltimore. Then I'm going to go with the Giants. Then I'm going to go with New England, the Jets, and then Pittsburgh as number one. Because I just think that defense is amazing right now. And I think that
and
Pittsburgh.
And they do enough on offense, especially
where does Seattle sit in all this? On the bench.
You're a funny guy. You're a funny guy. Coming up after the break, more Planet Gridiron Radio with myself, Damon Anderson, Roland Hill, and Dave Lockhart. Call in. Let your voice be heard at 888-346-9144.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes on.
pop shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping? Looking to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network. Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans. Keeping it real. Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. On the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Ian Anderson.
And as we always do, we always bring it back to what's current in the NFL, NBA, and NCAA. Let's talk about the NCAA. Dave Lockhart's alley.
Yes, yes.
So we got to talk about who's number one right now. Who's on first? Who's on second? We got to talk about Oregon and also Auburn. One Cam Newton.
Cam.
Why do the polls love Oregon, but the BCS computers love Auburn?
The polls like it because it's the eyeball test. You get a chance to see them play, them being Oregon. They're extremely explosive.
They do no huddle, and they score a lot of points.
And they score a lot of points, and they keep teams off balance. It looks like essentially basketball on a football field. It is appealing to watch. It is fun to watch. So I certainly understand why they're ranked number one. And frankly, they're undefeated. Why do the polls – so that's why the polls, per se, that's the eyeball, the human test. Why do the computers like Auburn? Well, because they look at Oregon and they say, Oregon, you played New Mexico State, you played Portland State, and you played Tennessee, which is a bad Tennessee team. That was just your out-of-conference schedule. In addition to that, you played Washington State, whereas if we look at –
and only won by 20.
Right. And then you look at what Auburn. Auburn's going to get some deference because they play in the SEC.
Because Cam Newton, the truth, that's why.
Yeah, and whether we like it or not, the SEC, they like the conference, they being the computers. And Cam Newton has played extremely well in high-profile games. He matched up last week, as we know, against LSU, which had coming into that game, the number one defense in the SEC. And Auburn rung up over 400 yards with Cam Newton rushing for 217 himself.
Do you give him the Heisman right now?
Yeah. Yes,
but
I would.
But you know they got to play Alabama.
Well, it's not over yet. I wouldn't sign off on the ballot now because you still have to.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. If he could lose to Alabama and still have a great day, I mean, he's the best player in college football right now.
He looks like he is. I would agree with that.
Dave, come on now.
He looks like he is.
Already crowned Denard Robinson before.
I like Denard Robinson. I do.
What?
I do.
He
like
don't play nobody. He don't get. He doesn't do. He doesn't do
well,
anything.
You're right. You just said he's playing in the Big Ten. He doesn't play anybody. He doesn't.
No. Now he is. My point is now he does.
He's all, aha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
You're right.
No, my point is now he does, and he's not doing the things that he did against Appalachian State and UConn and Notre Dame.
Well, you knew he wasn't going to be able to continue that pace.
No, I said that. You didn't say that.
No, he wasn't going to continue the pace. I mean, come on. I'm going to be realistic about that. He's not going to pass for 200.
I'm just glad he didn't break my individual Big Ten rushing record. Is all that. That's all I'm happy
He can't
about.
Stay healthy anyway. But at this point, at this juncture, I can't see how you would not say that the front runner at this juncture is Cam Newton.
Okay, so is it an Auburn, Oregon national championship?
Well, obviously, if they both went out, I think hands down that's what it's going to be. Wouldn't you agree with that?
So I agree, but there may be some people that say, well, what about Boise? How are these teams leapfrogging?
Boise, as far as I'm concerned, is also ran. Never going to get credit out of this mouth. Really? None. Never. Really? No, they're a good team. Eh.
What about TCU?
What about them?
I mean, they're about to go undefeated as well.
Yeah, when you quit playing in the Mountain West Conference, come talk to me.
So what's your advice to teams like TCU as well as Boise State?
My advice is simple. You have in this world haves and have-nots. You're a have-not. Sorry.
Why are they a have-not?
They're a have-not, frankly, because they play in the conference that they play in. I'm not going – if I'm Nebraska, if
but
I'm
they
Oklahoma.
They beat Oklahoma.
Okay.
In the Fiesta Bowl.
So?
I mean, they went to bowl games. They showed that they could win.
So?
They went to Virginia Tech in their home turf, went out east, mm-hmm. time difference, et cetera. You know, athletes, better recruiting, et cetera. Went out there and won.
I seen them get beat down by Georgia. I seen them get beat down in a bowl game also against, I think it was TCU, and they flip-flopped last year and TCU beat them.
Right.
Okay, so say the drama for your mama for me. I look at them and say, you all don't play enough people throughout the year that will warrant me giving you consideration for a national championship. In addition to national championship wins or losses, I look at the quality of opponent.
Right, absolutely. So do I.
And when you're playing Toledo, and then you turn around.
My boy coach it, Toledo. Shout out Lou Ianni.
And we played them. U of A played you. Okay. But then
y'all smashed them.
We smashed them. Exactly. Went to the game. But we played USC because of the conference. It's just like Big Ten.
Strength of opponent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's just strength of the opponent. Okay. So because of that, sorry, I'm not going to be able to give you those votes to say that you should be playing for the national championship.
Okay.
And I understand their position. We're trying to play these teams. But if I'm a Texas, if I'm in Oklahoma, I'm supposed to beat you. I ain't got nothing to gain from playing you. I ain't playing you.
Right.
Why am I playing you? I already have to play inside of my conference and stuff.
Right. No. And it makes sense. And they know that's like their national championship game and they're preparing for it.
Sure.
That's why they like to schedule those games for the first one of the season. So mm-hmm. they have all year basically to prepare
to get ready for it.
But and it makes sense. But at the same time, you have to give them the respect because, I mean, is it Patterson or Peterson, their head coach?
Gary Patterson is at TCU. Yeah.
Okay. But who's the coach at?
Chris Peterson.
Okay. There we go. Chris Peterson. I mean, they've both actually done a great job.
They have. I agree.
Building your team. And I mean, and it started with LaDainian when playing him and dude would just run up and down.
Ask U of A, can he play?
You know what I'm
he balled out.
I mean, I played him several times, and he was doing what he did now.
He ran for like 2 years in a row against us. So. Yeah. So, he was the truth.
He's a great back, and I mean, they're both doing great, you know, great jobs with their respective teams. But I think it comes down to, do you have to make a change of conference in order to get the national respect? Because you will continually be, Dave, a top 3 to 5 team and never get consideration for that national championship. Because I really think that, say, for example, a one-loss SEC team.
We'll get a nod over Boise State, maybe.
I wouldn't say a Big Ten because I don't think there's strength all the way through. I mean, Michigan State, if they win it, they're going to have a possibility to play for the national championship.
If it's Ohio State, they get the nod over Boise State.
You're talking about a 10-1?
A 11-1, 10-1, I think, potentially would get a nod over.
Michigan State has to go undefeated
in order
for them to go to that. I mean, they don't play Michigan. They don't play Ohio State
this year.
So that's favorable for them. So it could possibility, but I still don't see them leapfrogging Oregon or Auburn for a national championship.
Agreed. I would agree with that.
And they're going to end up playing a TCU or a
Vatek maybe.
No, or TCU or a Boise State. That's because they're not going to match up Boise State against TCU again.
Well, you threw them in the Orange Bowl because everybody knows and thinks the ACC is horrible. Okay,
right, yeah.
So you can match them up against them.
No, I'm talking about undefeated Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, Michigan State.
They're going to play a Boise or a TCU.
They're going to play a quality bowl game. They're going to get somewhere like.
Yeah, but I'm saying the Boise State's going to go undefeated. Have they played? They haven't played Nevada yet.
Not yet.
So that'll be a good game.
That's going to be in Nevada, so it's going to be a pretty good game.
Yeah,
but we all expect them to win, right?
I don't know, because you said, I mean, think about it. I mean, Nevada beat Cal at home, and Cal just drudged ASU. So
but are they the most Jekyll and Hyde team you've seen this year?
Absolutely.
They are, because they got drubbed against SC, and then they turn around the next week and beat the tail out of ASU, who, by the way, is talented.
I agree with you.
They have some talent.
And you saw that when they went down to Wisconsin and played them tough, went hit for hit, blow for blow. It showed that they had more talent than Wisconsin did. And Wisconsin, Bo Pelini is doing an amazing job with that team right now. Because, I mean, I guarantee you, Dave, anybody that knows football.
Belima. How do we pronounce his name? Belima?
Belima. Pelini is the coach at Nebraska.
Nebraska, right.
And talking about
Pelini.
Pelini. And we're talking about USC. They play Oregon. Oregon upset them last year.
That's the game day game.
In hopes of a national championship.
Sure.
USC, I say that they score at least 50. Oregon smashes them. I really do.
They're gonna, yeah, they're gonna score a lot of points.
It's
gonna
be similar to a Stanford game.
USC gonna score a lot of points on them too. So
yeah. You know, yeah. Well, what about another game? We got to talk about Auburn versus Ole Miss. It is the number one upset again, fourth week in a row.
Well, obviously it could happen because we've seen what's happened over the past 3 weeks. Is it going to happen? If I was going to be a betting man,
is Cam Newton number one pick in the NFL draft?
He's not. He's not.
Why not?
Because the skill set he still carries at the quarterback position.
He's so wrong. Yeah, he's so wrong. It's like nothing open. I'm gone.
Yep. He's a superior athlete. He's superior athletic.
So is Vince Young.
True.
And Vince Young was what, top five, top ten?
He was third pick, I want to say. Yeah, third pick in the first round. He's going to be a top pick. I don't disagree with that.
So who goes over him? Locke, Lucker?
I would take Luck.
Number one? What about our buddy from Arkansas?
Mallett. Mallett also plays unconventional offense as well. Great arm, great size. You know what?
So similar to Alex Smith?
Similar to David Klingler. I mean, you know, great numbers, great size, all of that. Dan McGuire. Right. We're 6'6", 6'7", quarterbacks. We see how they performed in the NFL. Not for long. NFL.
You think so? But Chad Henning's a big guy.
But he's a classic pro-style offense for 4 years,
but
too.
I mean, there's some tall quarterbacks that have made it. I mean, they're all, I mean, both the Manning brothers, they're both like
6'5", taller.
Yeah, and Tom Brady,
John Elway's a big man. He was 6'4". Dan Marino was 6'5".
But that's 6'7".
That's 6'7".
Yeah, right. He's a true 6'7".
Right. Mallett was a man, though, coming out. I've seen film of him.
Yeah, you talked about him a long time ago.
Yeah, he was nice. He was nice then.
So, I mean, rank the quarterbacks. I mean, this is your
collegiate
area.
Quarterbacks?
Collegiate quarterbacks.
Number one, if they were coming out right now, I would take, number one overall, I would take Andrew Luck. He would definitely have to be my number one guy.
Why?
Because he's the most pro-ready, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. He plays more in a consistent pro-style set with the two wide receivers or the two tight end, two tight running back set. Okay, to be honest, if he was eligible, I'm going to rank him. He's not eligible to come out. I like Matt Barkley. And I like his improvement.
He's only like 6'1", though.
He's about a 6'1", 6'2" guy, stretching it.
You're talking about, you like him because he's like Drew Brees.
Well, I like about him also, yeah, he makes good decisions, but why? He plays in a pro-style offense. That's why I like him. I like that because it's better preparation. You know I don't like their program, but if I even had to rank him, another quarterback, I would seriously consider Dane Chris. Pro-style offense. That's the reason why.
Okay.
And he's got 1 year experience, as so does Cam Newton. Okay, now who's the better athlete? Cam Newton hands down. Right. Okay, it's not even close. But we're talking about
transition higher.
Somebody's going to take Cam Newton higher.
Absolutely.
What? Absolutely, they're going to do that because if we can mold him.
Is it Jamarcus Russell, and does he get coached?
You know what? He's not Jamarcus Russell. Let's give a shout out to a past guest, Ronnie Veal, actually coached him up in high school.
Yes, he did.
He worked with him some. And
I'm going to tell a lot of GMs, if anyone's listening, a lot of coaches, the best thing that you could do, what all these players need, is when you get these raw players, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football, they still need to be coached up.
They do.
You know, just because you're the best athlete out there, Michael Vick, as we see, he still needed to be coached up, and it has made leaps and bounds with his success.
Sure.
His transition from not necessarily the penitentiary, just from being an athlete to a quarterback.
Right.
And I think if given Cam Newton, I think that's what happened with Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
He got that itis, got that $50, $40 million in
guaranteed.
The bank.
Guaranteed.
And was like, I'm cool.
Right.
But, you know, you guys need to still treat them as though that they're players and you're the coach and coach them up. And I think that that's the problem going on in Big D right now,
yeah.
Is that people feel as though, and I understand how Wade Phillips is. He probably saw, as we talked about last week, his dad had like a domineering, you know, type of, to not only the players, but to him as well.
Iron fist.
You know, iron fist. And he sees like, well, maybe if I could, you know, be one with the players and we could win some games. And everyone in the head coach of the Giants got a
Coughlin.
Coughlin got a bad rep for being so disciplined.
If you're 5 minutes early, you're late.
So regimented. Like that. Yeah. Got a bad rap for being so disciplined and regimented, but this team year after year, despite injuries,
wins
consistently.
Wins. Coming up after the break, best costumes for Halloween, scariest movies, and always our picks. And I think Wags is going to call back, and you can always let your voice be heard at 888-346-9144 with Roland Hill, Dave Lockhart, and myself, Damon Anderson.
Don't fight the feeling.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Hey, football fans, are you ready for an intelligent discussion about the Buffalo Bills and the National Football League? Are you tired of listening to talk show hosts that have never played football? Instead of answering your questions, they prefer to listen to themselves. And when they don't like what you're saying, they just cut you off. Well, that won't happen on the Jeff Nixon Sports Report. Keep it clean, stay relatively calm and rational, and the discussion will flow well. Join Jeff Nixon Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Spin It with Chuck Foreman has a spin on so much that's going on. It will be hard to fit it all into the promo. We'll talk about the weekend games, what to look forward to, hot topics in the news. Spin It Old School, which gives a back-in-the-day approach from Chuck. A no-spin zone where Chuck gives an unbiased opinion and lets you do the same. Chuck will be taking us around town and around the world with news, happenings, and more. It's football, news, and happenings. Tune in for Spin It with Chuck Foreman, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on Planet Gridiron Radio with your host, Damian Anderson.
As always, one Dave Lockhart just reminded me that the World Series. I don't claim to be a necessarily a huge baseball fan, but I do like to watch. And there was a pitching duel that was up with game one, I know.
It was supposed to be a pitching duel.
It was a hitting duel. One Cliff Lee and Tim Lincecum.
Yep, and some exposure of Mr. Vlad Guerrero.
Yes.
The knees are gone.
He
no longer play in the field.
That's why they had him DHing,
right?
Absolutely. So.
Yeah, but he can swing that bat.
Yes,
so.
He can, and no gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
And we ain't talking about what y'all know. We're talking about swinging the bat.
When you said that, you just saw that look like the kind made by Nike. Are we speaking? Are we speaking of those?
Arama. No, so I mean, so they're up. San Francisco's up 2-0.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, for a team to be decimated by financial ruin and to come back in the way in which they did, the Rangers. I mean, it is, what's the word I'm looking for there? It's admirable.
It's dynamite.
Yeah.
Like, dynamite. In mortal words.
Yes.
JJ.
But it's very admirable, but I think you have to give it. I mean, it's going to be hard for them to fight back.
They always say what? Great pitching beats great hitting.
But, I mean, they're hitting the mess off the ball right now.
Right.
In terms of the Giants. I mean, I don't even think it's necessarily great pitching because either one of them are pitching well, but they're just hitting the ball.
Well, I beg to differ a little bit. Michael Caine last night.
Yeah, last night.
Four-hitter. I mean, they put it down. No team has lost. I think it's been quite some time since you saw a 9-0.
Right.
I mean, it was dominated is really what happened here. Right. And, you know, they're up against it. And it's going to be interesting because if they lose, they being the Rangers, lose again, is it Saturday playing or Sunday?
Man, you know I don't know.
This weekend. In any event, if they lose again, I think you speed up the rotation in terms of shorten the rest. And Cliff Lee's got to be back up on the mound again.
But is he worrying about that game one? He hit the ball, too. He had a hit game one. He was out there.
I don't know if he's going to necessarily worry about that, but let's see how dominant he has been.
I mean, you have to have a short memory, given his success over the past year. Well, I mean, stay tuned. Watch it out. Check it out. The World Series. But as we do, what we like to do is Wags there? Is Wags connected? He always helps us out with the picks.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Wagley. Wag, what's happening?
So we're about to pull up the picks in our handy-duty computer and talk about. So who's your your number one team right now, Dave. I know that we gave the picks, but who you got any surprises for this week, Roland? What about you over there? You've been quiet half the show.
Quiet as a church mouse.
Talking college football, man.
Let's talk about. I mean, you're here. You're a resident Arizonian. Talk about what are you seeing from the Arizona Cardinals so far before we get into these picks.
You know what? I really like the Cardinals. You know, not just because I live here. I like the Cardinals, but it's a quarterback situation. You know, everyone's talking about it. You know, we need a definite quarterback, and we don't have one. So, Where do you find one?
Do you go? I mean, well, you have to go with what you have. I mean, right. Fortunately for the Cardinals, I mean, you have to go with what you have, and it's going to be either Max Hall or Derek Anderson. So, do you necessarily go with experience, or do you go with question marks?
I'd stick with Anderson. And you know what? Like you say, you got to coach him up. Just coach him up and go with him.
Well, I mean, to me, Derek Anderson, I've been saying that from the very beginning. Right, is not the answer. And ain't going to be the answer.
And Hall's not the answer. Not this year.
He's not. He's too young. But, you know, what was interesting, did you hear the comments on D.A. Orlick?
By Brian Billick? Or
Jaworski. He just said it up front. He said, Max Hall does not possess the skill set that one needs to be successful in the NFL. When you see him over the long haul, he is not projecting well as an individual.
I'll say this. I watched the cut-ups from the game. And
of course, because you are privy to that, Mr. Anderson.
No, but I'm just saying I watched the cut-ups of the game and just wanted to go in detail in terms of the production and how the game was. And I think in terms of an individual's performance, I thought the ball floated due to the inclement weather on him. And whether that's – I mean, you as a professional, you knew that in warm-ups.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Have gloves on. Make that adjustment. You know what I'm saying? Take care of that is my point. You know what I mean? You know that. Oh, if it's raining – Throw a pair of gloves on. I mean, take care of that. However, I thought that at times the offensive line got them rocked twice. But other than that, they did a good job protecting both quarterbacks. And I think that what he anticipated what was poor on his part was that the rush was getting there. And he had to get the ball out quicker than he had to. It was another issue. And when he did throw the ball, we'll say this, they were covered.
Sure.
I mean, Seattle did a great job covering the receivers. And some of the plays, yeah, he floated on his interception. He missed Larry on a corner route. And there was another route on earlier.
Deep
post or corner, either one. Because he was running out. He was running to the pylon, so it was a corner route. But he also did a blue action, play action, and the ball floated over the tight end, Spock's head. And it was early. It was going to be a first down.
Sure.
In little situations like that, obviously you could attribute to the inclement weather. But for me, I think it's him calming down. Do I think he's going to be an intelligent quarterback and he could play well and he does some great things? I think he can be good. It remains to be seen if he could be a consistent winner to me. And it shows in its situation. Brian Billick said it. You could have all the intangibles that you want, but in order to be a leader, you have to win. You have to produce.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that's the most
ain't
important
thing.
Ain't
nobody following,
no loser. Do you think he possesses a better skill set than Matt Leinart?
Very similar. Very similar. Because I think that the throws that he can make downfield, Matt Leinart won't throw. You know what I mean? And he feels more comfortable. He's not necessarily going to take that chance. Like Derek Anderson make that throw. It may not be accurate, but he's going to make the throw. Max Hall will make that throw. It may be an interception, but Matt Leinart won't make the throw, and he'll just check it down.
I think
that's what they're missing from Kurt Warner.
Now, do you think that and this kind of if they wouldn't have gotten rid of Anquan, do you think they would try him at quarterback this year? Do you think they'd
tried him? No, you don't think so?
No, this ain't
college. They wouldn't revert back to that. You know, no.
He's a pretty good quarterback.
Anquan, you ain't paying me to play ball.
Right.
But I think what happens is obviously Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame quarterback. But what they're missing is because they're having this to have the running back stay in assist and pass protection. They're not getting those check off routes where no one's open.
Two man route.
Absolutely, throw the ball down to the running back. You know, check down and get him 5-6 yards. So second down is manageable. You know, right now everyone has to stay in and max protect because they're running the ball. And everybody's like, why don't they run the ball and do what they did in Pittsburgh? Because they keep fumbling. If they stop fumbling, they can run the ball and establish some run game. But if you have 5 turnovers, I don't care who you are, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Chandler Crushers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Detroit. You're not going to win.
The Jets, you're not going to win. Speaking of Chandler Crushers, Roland Hill's going to be announcing the game tomorrow.
I'll be out there at Hamilton High School.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, you going to be out there?
The number 2 Chandler Crushers take on the number 10 Phoenix Stars.
Number 10.
Hey, but they beat the North Phoenix Gladiators. So, I mean, they beat them on their home field.
I'll be there in spirit. Shout out to my daughter, JDRF, walk tomorrow, juvenile diabetes, down at Tempe Lake. And that's what I will be tomorrow morning.
Hearts and prayers go out to all those affected with juvenile diabetes.
I thought that
and
was the autism walk tomorrow.
It may very well be. But
they do it all together.
I guess so.
But we're going to go walk ourselves to these picks right now.
Walk on, brother.
Right, talk about these picks. We got Buffalo and Kansas City.
Where's the game played?
Well, Kansas City.
KC.
KC.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
All right, baby.
We got Miami and Cincinnati.
I'm going with Miami.
I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
Are you?
Miami's undefeated on the road this year.
That's good, but Dolphins. But it's going to be inclement weather. It's going to be a little cold down there in the Midwest.
Yeah, but they run that rock in Miami.
Yeah, but not successful against that. Malayuga. Not against Malayuga. We got Carolina at St. Louis. I'm going St. Louis.
I'm going St. Louis.
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Carolina, man.
Highwags. Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, we got the voice decimal. We will put you on mute. We will put you on mute. We got Green Bay at the Jets.
Jets.
J-E-T-S. Jets. Who you got, Ro?
Jets.
Who you got, Wax?
Jets.
Okay.
All right, we got Tampa Bay, the best team. Yeah, they are. Yeah, huh? We are.
Yeah, I said it.
We got the Tampa Bay. We got the best team in the NFC going against the Arizona Cardinals.
Zona. I got Zona.
Okay, there it is. We got Seattle going against the Black Hole.
I got the Raiders at home.
McFadden, four touchdowns.
I got to take Seattle.
Stop it, Roland.
I got to take Seattle. I like Seattle.
That's when we know that you
like Seattle.
That's when we know that you lack.
Here, that 40-40-40-40, and then here. That came out of you right there.
Real quick, we got to finish up. Denver at San Francisco.
Denver.
Sorry, they're in London.
Yeah, London.
I'm going with San Francisco. Jacksonville at Dallas. Come on, Dallas.
Dallas.
Come on, Dallas.
And I changed that. San Francisco for me.
Okay, good deal. Washington at Detroit.
Washington.
I'm going with McNabb.
Washington.
Wags, who you got?
I'm going with Washington.
Okay, Tennessee at Diego. It's going to be a good game.
Tennessee,
right here.
I got.
I'm going with Diego, though. They're at
San
home.
Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah. Minnesota at New England. Ooh, Moss goes back New England.
New England.
Minnesota.
New England. I agree with Dave. We got Pittsburgh and New Orleans. Drew Brees has been throwing 7 interceptions the past 2 weeks.
I got Pitt.
Pittsburgh, too.
Pittsburgh.
For Wags,
Daylock,
Roland Hill,
and Damian Anderson. This has been Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. As always, we appreciate you guys for listening in, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.